Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the new car showroom here at Car Talk Plaza.
Huh, is that why you're wearing your white shoes?
No, I just happen to think they look kind of sharp with those plaid pants that I'm wearing. Anyway, here's the new car issue that I want to discuss.
Yeah, okay.
The Volkswagen Beetle. Fairly or unfairly, I guess fairly, actually, it's usually seen as a chick car.
You mean it appeals more to women than men?
Exactly. And VW's not happy about that, I guess. I guess it bruises their collective male ego, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they've made some changes this year. And I've got to say, they've done a pretty good job of manning it up. I mean, here are just a few of the subtle but significant changes that we've noticed.
Yeah, okay.
First, they're changing the name from the VW Beetle to the VW Battle. That should help.
That's good, yeah, yeah.
Now they've replaced the flower vase on the dashboard with a spit cup. In case you chew when you drive.
Yeah, right.
They're adding a 4-day-old stubble to the front bumper. That's manly.
That's manly, yeah.
Now, instead of the new car smell, it smells like too much Axe body spray. Now, I don't quite understand this, but the driver's seat is a flush handle and a magazine rack. And finally, the car shuts off and goes right to sleep after an oil change.
A dead giveaway.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car, we'll do our level best to help you.
Oh, yeah.
We're at 8. That doesn't mean it'll be good. It'll just be our level best. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
We're great. Who's this?
This is Lynn, and I'm calling from Golden, Colorado.
That's a tough name to live up to, Golden.
Golden, yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, you expect everything to be perfect.
Well, it's darn near perfect. It's a pretty fabulous place. It's right outside of Denver, and so we have Denver and fun stuff to do in Denver.
And do you have a job?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Anyway, Lynn, what can we do for you today?
I have an odd little thing with my car. I drive a 2011 Subaru Forester, and sometimes when I take my key out of the ignition, it's hot.
Oh.
I mean, it's like hot to the touch, or if I press it to my cheek, just to make sure that it's hot, it's hot, and it's random.
It doesn't always happen?
It does not always happen.
Well, you know, where you stick the key,
mm-hmm.
typically the thing that the key goes into is called a lock.
Yeah.
And attached to that lock is an ignition switch.
Okay.
So that when you put the key in the lock and you turn it and turn the car on, that switch is sending electricity to various things, not the least of which is the starter motor to start the engine and all the other electronic things that are running to keep the car going.
Okay.
Now, it may be one of two things. Either there are a lot of... by the way, why are you touching the key to your cheek?
Wouldn't you? I mean...
I can't.
So you do that just to make sure.
Sure. When you take it out, if it's warm, you wonder why.
So it's warm even to you. So the key is composed of a metal part and a plastic part, right? And
correct.
So you grab a hold. The plastic part isn't hot. But
no.
You must have on occasion touched the metal part and said, let me see if I can leave a lasting mark on my cheek by touching this key to it.
It hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, so, don't do that.
And how hot is it? I mean, when you touch it to your cheek, do you go, ow?
Yes.
So don't do that anymore.
Yeah, don't put that on your face. That's not good.
Because then you'll start looking like my brother.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'll start looking like my brother.
But anyway, it could be that there's something wrong with your ignition switch. And so you may want to contact your Subaru dealer. There may be a fault.
Yeah.
Okay, there may be some arcing going on, which is causing overheating.
Okay.
And so I would imagine it might be dependent upon how long you've driven the car and maybe what accessories you have on. Who knows?
But you should do this as soon as possible.
Really?
Sure, because if it's something, it could burst into flame. What do we know?
New car.
Yeah, well,
that's what it's likely to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's likely to happen with a brand new car because they haven't figured it out yet. So I would go to your Subaru dealer and I would complain that the key is hot and it may be normal.
Well, now, Now, do you guys think that's normal?
No.
Well, you know, I'm going to start pressing my key to my cheek. So, as you may know, Lynn, we test drive lots of different cars. The next time I drive a new Forester, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do a both before and after, before I put the key in and after I take it out. But I'm going to try it with every car now and see how hot the key gets. I do know, for example, that if you put a CD in a CD player, in many cases it comes out really hot. You know, because there are things going on in there, a lot of electricity. Electricity makes heat.
And do you put the CD to your cheek just to make sure that it's hot when it comes out?
Of course I do. Anyway, take it to the dealer, complain, see what they say. And if they say, oh, they're all like that, maybe he can verify it with another Forester. So that doesn't mean that it's okay. It just means that they all do it. And there may be some fix later on. But I'm suspecting if there's anything wrong, it's certainly the ignition switch.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll check it out.
All right. See you later.
Do it soon.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk. You know, it could be that this is a hand warmer kind of thing. You know, you get out, right?
No, I don't like it.
You have heated steering wheels, heated seats, heated mirrors, heated key. I like it.
No.
Never mind. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Russell from Asheville, North Carolina.
What's your name?
Russell.
Two S's, two L's.
Yeah, I got it. I'm working on Asheville now. Anyway, Russell, what's going on with you today?
Okay, well, my wife and I are both musically inclined. And ever since we fired up the air conditioner in our 96 Toyota Camry, we've had a strange musical friend underneath the hood. And it sounds just like an oboe or a clarinet player is trapped underneath our hood practicing the introduction to Rhapsody in Blue. And then that's sort of where it stops, and then it sort of sounds like brr, brr.
Oh, it keeps doing it.
Yeah, well, it does it, and then it'll take a break for a couple, you know, minutes, and then it'll start it up again.
So have you looked? Is there an oboe player under the hood?
I don't know, and I'm thinking if there is, maybe I could find an alternate source of income for my vehicle. It's pretty talented.
Does the air conditioner work when all of this is going on?
Yeah, the air conditioner's still blowing cold air.
And so it does the first sound where it goes from low frequency to high frequency. And then what does it do after that again?
Well, then it sort of just stops, and then every 15, 20 seconds it kind of goes kind of up and down and little toots and honks every once in a while.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Now, let me... In addition to this, and I don't know if this is correlated, but when we first fire the car up and the air conditioner is on when the car comes on, there's also like high-pitched chirping. Sounds like a cricket, but then that goes away. The main issue seems to be the clarinet or oboe sound.
Well, is it a clarinet or is it an oboe? Because this could change everything.
So simpler. I'm going to go with clarinet.
You're going to go with clarinet. Well, you know, if the air conditioner is – you haven't had the air conditioner recharged recently, have you?
No, nothing has been done as far as recharging. We just got the car in January, so this is our first summer with it.
Oh, so you don't know that the previous owner didn't recharge it?
No, I don't. And I don't know if he recognized its musical talents either.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's one possibility that's easy to check, I guess, in that it has too much refrigerant in it. And you could take it to an AC shop, and they can verify that for you.
Okay.
But if that isn't the case, I'm guessing it's something external, and it's probably the AC compressor clutch. You know, when you turn on the AC, let's go back a step. When the AC is not on, the belt that typically drives the AC is sitting there, and it's turning, just like all the other belts are turning, except it isn't turning the guts of the compressor. So there's an electromagnetic clutch that when you turn the air conditioner switch to on, that clutch closes, okay, and locks the shaft of the air conditioner compressor to that pulley, so that now when that pulley turns, it's turning the innards of the compressor and making conditioned air. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
You are?
Good for you, man.
Like Tommy nodded off about 2 minutes ago, and Berman fell under his desk. But anyway, if there's a problem with that clutch, that could make exactly the noise you described. The clutch could be slipping, or the belt could be slipping. Both of which can make that noise. So you need to open the hood. And here's what you can try. You can get a squirt gun. Do you have a squirt gun?
Yep, got coming.
Every musician has a squirt gun, right?
Of course.
And I'm a teacher, so you got to keep the kids teaching.
A confiscated squirt gun. So you can get a squirt gun and just fill it with water.
Okay.
That the noise?
That's it.
sorry, it's my teacher intercom thing.
Oh, they're looking.
Try that again.
Are they looking for you?
No, I'm safe. I'm hiding in the closet now.
So while the engine is running, okay, and the air conditioner is on, and it's making this noise, try spraying that belt and that pulley. Do you think you can identify where the AC compressor is?
I think so. I've got the Haynes manual that goes with it.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
And I think it'll be the thing that's making the noise. So when you find out what's making the noise, spray it with the water and see if that doesn't make it go away, because it could signal there's something wrong with the clutch.
Oh, okay. Is that expensive?
Yeah, a few hundred bucks maybe.
Okay, not too bad.
But for a gem like this 96 Camry, we want to keep this thing running forever.
Oh, of course.
Oh, it's a great car.
Well, we have Camrys that come to our shop that have 300,000 miles on them.
Yeah, that's our goal. Just put them on.
What do you got now?
145. It's actually pretty low.
Oh, it's brand new.
Halfway there.
I know. We're just breaking it in.
Well, good luck, Russell.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. You probably find out it needs an evaporator and a condenser and a compressor.
Better we didn't tell
him. It cost him $2,500. Yeah, it's better he travels with hope. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Mary, and I'm calling from Framingham.
Framingham, Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
Wow. Hi, Mary.
Wow. We never had a call from there.
My problem is the significant other in my life chooses to think he's being very careful with the vehicles that we have when we go up a hill. And he will go so slowly that I could get out and run faster.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks he's being kind to the vehicle because his logic is that it is already stressful on the vehicle, so you want to take your time with it. In the meantime, trucks are passing us, people are waving, thinking that, oh, my God.
People are running faster than you're driving.
Absolutely. Now, before we diss him too badly, I want to tell you, he's a graduate of Cambridge High in Latin. In 58, so he's not too
no
far
kidding.
From you
I
guys.
Think I am too.
No, you were 1858.
But it drives me crazy. My guts are turning inside out, thinking, "Give it some gas."
Well, we're with you, Mary. I mean, it's not like your car has like a heart condition. You know, if you had a heart condition, you wouldn't want to run up a flight of stairs. It might do you in.
Right.
You know, and it is easier. I will admit, on some level. He is right. It is easy to go up a hill slowly, but not so painfully slowly that the guys, if the garbage trucks, you know, that we're reading the newspaper hanging off the back, are passing you.
They're passing.
I mean, I would say if you had a choice, if you had a hill and you had a choice between climbing it at 50 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour, you would definitely be taxing the engine more to climb it at 50. But I wouldn't worry about that either.
It wouldn't matter a lot.
I mean, aren't they sort of made to go up hills?
That's the whole idea. Yeah, that's
rather
the whole idea.
Rather than walking or running up them? I mean, that's why we have vehicles?
It's nice of him to want to do this.
But,
yes,
but you're going to tell him he's driving you nuts. He's driving you nuts and
you can't take it anymore.
I know. And the problem with that is he's such a nice guy that he'll say, I know, honey, and you're being very patient about this as we're still inching our way up the hill.
But he can't. He may not be able to help himself.
Yeah. I don't think he can. That's why he has me, right?
Yeah, that's why he has you, and you're going to have to cajole him. He's like the child that doesn't want to go to school. You may have to take him by the hand and help him.
And help him up the hill.
Yeah, but tell him he's not really benefiting the engine and the entire car very much at all.
Because, well, he told me, give him a call back when I find out because he's very interested in knowing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have to be the first one to get to the top of the hill.
No.
But he should try to get there, like, close to with the pack.
Yes.
You know, so if everyone else is driving 40, you'll accept them driving 30, but not 10.
Well, 10 is a bit of an exaggeration.
20?
We sometimes manage 30 on a good day when he's feeling peppy.
See, here's the risk.
Yeah?
If he abandons this, Because you pressure him or convince him, he may adopt some other wacko, you know, habit. So you have to always put things, you have to balance things and say, do I want him
pick
to...
Pick your battles.
Pick your battles. So if this isn't that bad, live with it.
Oh, but it's turning my guts inside out.
I know. We've been doing this with my brother, Mary Menton, for many, many years. And it's a struggle. So we understand. I understand. He doesn't.
Oh, I do appreciate that.
Good luck.
All right, thank you very much.
See you later.
And I'll be happy to tell him. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take a short break.
Hey, by the way, I got a message here from the president of NPR.
Well, what is it? It looks like one of those pink while you were out slips.
Yeah, it says, while you were out, stay out.
Nice. Well, when we come back, what have you got for us?
More dispatches from Brownie Nation. We got a bunch of mail about the proper brownie to mechanic ratio.
Oh, really? Well, there's that and lots more of your car questions coming up right after the break, so please stay tuned.
Oh, make sure your lug nuts are tight, Tommy. Make sure your lug nuts are tight. Make sure that tire is attached, Tommy, before you drive off out of sight. Tighten those lugs with a wrench, Tommy. Turn it with all of your might. You have got to be wise to prevent your demise, so make sure your lug nuts are tight. Oh, left is loose, right is tight, Tommy, I know you've heard that before.
And even though the Postmaster General temporarily okays the mailing of unwrapped fish whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about, of course, cars, car repair, and confectionery etiquette.
A couple of weeks ago, someone asked us about the proper brownie to mechanic ratio, and you said what?
I think several hundred to one. I said.
No. I think you said about 3 to 1, and you said if you bring brownies, bring them for the whole shop.
That's my position precisely.
Well, a guy named Mike Zeichen disagrees.
Oh, yeah?
He says the correct ratio is N plus 1, where N equals 2. And those 2 brownies go only to the mechanic who actually fixed your car. He says this creates competition, whereby every mechanic in the shop will vie to fix your car and fix it correctly.
Oh, dream on, Mike. And what about that other brownie? It was N plus 1. Where's the plus 1 go?
Well, he says the third brownie is for the winning mechanic to share with a buddy of his choice at the garage. This encourages the other guys in the shop to be helpful, so they might be awarded the buddy brownie.
Oh, discouraging them from sabotaging the job by pouring a Lumiseal into the gas tank. I can see it now.
Yeah, I think this guy must be a third grade teacher. He's never worked in a repair shop.
No, first of all, the buddy brownie idea would never work. Mechanics just don't share brownies or any baked goods for that matter. So one guy would eat all 3 if they ever got to him.
Right. I mean, we see a guy with brownies, we tackle him.
Of course. I wanted to mention, by the way, that the Puzzler is coming back very soon.
Yeah, but remember, in the meantime, you can find a Puzzler every week on our website, cartalk.com.
These are previously owned Puzzlers.
I would say previously solved.
Okay, sure.
But rest assured, they have not been improved in any way.
No, not to worry. 888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ted from Maumee, Ohio.
Hey, Ted, how are you?
Maumee.
Oh, yeah.
M-O-M-M-Y?
Yeah, something like that.
M-A-U-M-E-E. It's
yes.
Directly south of Toledo, Ohio, where the Jeeps were and have been made.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And that's why I'm calling.
Because you have a Jeep.
I have a 1947 Army Jeep.
Do you?
Oh, a real one.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
But the problem is my odometer cable became disengaged or something, and I don't like crawling under the Jeep.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't like jacking it up because I'm not real comfortable with the integrity of the axles and so forth. So, and I don't have a pit or a lift. What I'd like to do is tip the Jeep up on its side and just sit on a stool and work on the underside of the Jeep.
You mean flip it all the way on a side?
Tip it all the way up on its side. You know, it's flat.
I hadn't thought of this. We should start doing this at the shop.
Yeah.
I think people might complain. The doors on that side are smashed.
Well, yeah, but see, I don't have doors.
You don't have doors, right.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which side to tip it, the driver's side. I'll drain the fluids first.
This seems like an awful lot of work to do where you could go to a shop and have them put it on a lift.
Yeah.
I know, but I had this great idea about tipping it, and then I can do other things.
Well, we're not sure it's a great idea.
I don't like the idea at all.
You don't?
No, well, clearly you do, and clearly you're going to do it.
I may do it. I told my son, Jeff, if the Car Talk guys say don't do it, then I won't do it.
Oh, good. Well, don't do it.
By the way, all you need is a new cable, in all likelihood.
Yeah.
I mean, one of two things is wrong. Either the cable is broken or the speedo head is broken. Okay? And you can easily ascertain that by unscrewing the cable from the back of the speedometer head.
Mm-hmm.
And then drive the vehicle. If that cable is turning, then the problem is in the head.
Okay.
And in which case, turning it over on its side or putting it over on its roof or anything is not going to help.
Okay.
You need a new head. So let's assume it is the cable, because that's the most likely thing to go. Then you've got to, and getting that cable loose is real easy. Do you have some circumferential issues that prevent you from getting under the Jeep?
I have a long nose.
That's all right. We can take care of that.
You can turn your head to the side. But is this some other physical attribute that you possess that might prevent you from getting under the Jeep?
Not really. No.
So your plan is to tip it over like at a 45-degree angle or all the way?
A 90-degree angle.
All the way, huh?
Just set it up on its side.
You could prop it up, I guess, then with 2x4s or something, or lean it up against a tree.
I could do that. I have three big strong brothers too. They could just hold it for me.
So you're going to drain the motor oil, the gas.
Maybe I should just slide underneath.
I think you should just slide. Yeah, Ted, this sounded like a bad idea 5 minutes ago, and it sounds even worse now.
Well, then, in my promise to Jeff, then I won't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you might want to do is go out and invest in a floor jack and 4 jack stands.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I will. But see, I don't know if the axles or whatever I put the jack stands underneath are going to, survive.
Oh, sure they will. If you put it under the axle tubes, because this thing has a live axle both in the front and the rear. If it doesn't survive that, then it's a good lesson to say that you shouldn't be driving it.
Oh, well, yeah, that would...
I think you should jack it up, put the floor jack right under what's called the pumpkin, the thing that where the differential gears are, the ring gear and the spider gears and all that, and then put the jack stands as close to the wheels as possible on the axle tubes. Do that in the front, jack up the rear, and then you'll be able to fit under there, and you'll have a time for yourself.
Even with my nose.
Even with your big nose.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Don't hurt yourself.
All righty, thanks.
You have to. See you later.
Let us know how you do.
I will.
I'm sure you will.
Great.
Oh, I will.
See you, Ted.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. Where do we get these nuts? Hello. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tamara from Seattle.
Hi, Tamara from Seattle.
Tamara?
Yeah. Not today.
Tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. You probably heard that since third grade.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And you knew you were going to hear it from us, didn't you?
I figured.
You were hoping not, but you kind of knew on some level. What's up?
Okay, so I have a dilemma. Yeah. I have a car, a 96 Honda Civic, and I got it from my parents because it got into a little accident. So it had all these dents all over it, and I was working in a really fancy neighborhood, and this mechanic came out from one of the houses, and he was detailing their car. And he saw my car, and he ran over to me and said, "You need to get all these dents out of your car. I'll do it for you really cheap." And I thought, okay, this is a fancy neighborhood. This guy probably does really good cars. Whatever, I might as well.
By the way, he was not doing body work on this car in this fancy neighborhood. He was cleaning it?
He was detailing their car, and I asked the people, and they said, yes, he does. He's a mechanic, and he does body work. So
because there's a big difference between cleaning and body work. I just wanted to point that out, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Continue your narrative.
Okay, so he took my car, and he took it to his shop, and he came back in 2 hours, and he said, okay,
well done.
I fixed the dents on your car. So I walked out, and yes, some of the dents were fixed, but on the ones that he couldn't entirely fix, he put stickers.
Oh.
So he put a sticker of Betty Boop and one of Tinkerbell and one of, like, a kiss, and then all sorts of, like, kind of tramp stamp-looking tattoo stickers all over the hood. And I thought, I don't even know what to say. And he was really nice, and he was like, I thought it would just make you happy, It's like, the dents didn't totally come out, and I thought, and he was so nice about it.
So how many of these stickers were on the car now? 10?
I have like 6 stickers on my car. So I thought, how can I be, nice and say thank you, but let's do something about this. So I said, can we paint the car? Because
you're talking, lady.
So I'm thinking, okay, I'll get it. This is my chance to get my car painted really cool. But I said, I'm going to give you a photo. You're not allowed to paint the car whatever you want.
So already you don't trust this guy.
Right, exactly.
How many teeth did he have?
No, he had all his teeth. He was super sweet. He was like,
How old? How old a guy?
Probably in his 50s.
Oh.
So then he bought the paint, mm-hmm. and he was supposed to come back and get my car, and he didn't come back. So I thought, oh, that's strange. So I called his number, and apparently he'd gotten into a really bad accident.
Oh.
A car fell on him, and his legs got crushed. Okay.
Oh.
So I felt horrible. So he was in therapy for months, and now he's fine. So now I'm stuck with this dilemma. My friend and I are arguing over it. Should I keep the stickers in memory of, his tragedy and that he, did this? But I work as a designer, and I'm driving around in a car that a 15-year-old, her first car, she put stickers all over it. So
yeah.
I don't really know what to do.
Well, I mean, it's a nice sentiment to want to keep the stickers as a tribute to this guy, but he didn't get hurt fixing your car.
No, he didn't.
So you have the gallon of paint, do you?
I have the paint, yeah.
You have the paint, which you paid for.
Yes.
Oh, I think you're perfectly entitled to go to any other body shop of your choosing and have them fix the... by the way, if the dents aren't really bad, you can paint over them.
Oh, okay. So it won't look like a new paint job over a dented up car.
Oh, yeah. No, it will. But you park in dark places, You go out only at night.
Yes.
But it will. I mean, don't go crazy because you could spend thousands of dollars fixing up the body.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What's your budget, do you think?
Oh, yeah. What should my budget be?
Yeah.
What could it be for painting cars?
Well, here's what I would do. I would take it to Maaco.
Okay.
And tell them you have the paint. You'd like them to paint the car. Fix the dents as best they can. You don't have to go to Maaco, but there are lots of other places, or legitimate body shops. But I think you'll get a pretty good deal at a place like Maaco.
Better than Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
And Betty Boop, so.
Well, no. You may say, when they tell you how much it is, you may decide to keep Betty Boop and Tinkerbell.
Yeah, I know.
Good luck, Tamara.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye. Now, how often do you get approached by a stranger that volunteers help and you feel good about that? Hardly ever, right?
Hardly ever, yeah.
I mean, if I were cutting a limb off my tree in the front yard and someone came by and said,
I cut a lot of trees down.
I cut one of my own limbs off the other day. I would probably be a little skeptical.
Of course.
But she jumped right in.
Mm.
Anyway, 888-CARS. She has faith. And she's young. That's good. That's important. She'll learn. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
So she's in trouble is what
she's in trouble, basically. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Steve from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
What's happening, man?
Well, I have a 1999 Acura SLX SUV. It's the one that looks like a trooper. In fact, I'm told that it is a trooper.
It is a trooper, yeah.
Yeah.
It has 116,000 miles. It has been well cared for, not abused, good shape.
Uh-huh.
However, about 2 years ago, the transmission started slipping every 2 weeks or so. At around 30 miles an hour, it would slip from third to neutral or second, I guess. And then it would stick for just a little while, maybe 10 or 15 seconds. And I would gently apply pressure to the accelerator. and they would slip back into third gear and then be fine.
And when you say it slipped...
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, would the engine speed up, but the car not speed up?
Yeah, the engine would speed up, the car wouldn't speed up. About 6 months ago, it suddenly got worse. So out of anger, I floored it. And once again, it shifted back into third, but it has run perfectly ever since for about the past 6 months. So
well, you anyway, fixed it.
I have a very good and conscientious shop, but they've been puzzled by the condition. So when I told the lead mechanic about this self-healing phenomenon,
yeah,
his response was, well, you know, sometimes they just need a kick in the pants. And that is verbatim.
Sometimes they just need a kick in the pants.
That's correct.
I like that. Well, it may have been. I'm guessing you perhaps had a stuck solenoid or something like that.
Hmm.
Or maybe some dirt someplace.
Yeah.
And
you blew it out.
That flooring it dislodged. Now, it's this kind of folklore.
Yeah.
See, the other people that have cars behaving similarly will say, well, Steve from Denver did this with his transmission, and it fixed it. So now you may set off a contagion of knuckleheads who are going...
Flooring it!
Yeah, and may, in fact, ruin their transmissions. I think there was probably nothing seriously wrong with your transmission that maybe a good transmission fluid flush wouldn't have fixed.
I don't think they've done that.
No, yeah. You probably, it wouldn't be a bad idea to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because if there is dirt somewhere floating around that was sticking a solenoid or whatever, then in fact it would be a good idea to drop the pan, change the filter and change the fluid, and you're good for another 116K.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we will have learned nothing if you do that. what are your long-term goals for this vehicle, Steve?
Well, I am I'm retired. Actually, I'm a retired broadcaster, and I...
I was going to say, you must have been in radio. You have a very nice voice.
Well, thank you.
We're in radio, and does either of us have a nice voice? No.
Well, no, we're the exception.
Not a requirement.
I think we're the exception, and Steve is the rule. I have to take a wild guess here.
It takes more than a good voice, believe me. But I, my long-term goals, I'd like to keep the car a little longer. It really is in wonderful shape. If it keeps on running and you know, I don't encounter any serious problems, I'd like to keep it for maybe another 30, 40,000 miles.
Boy, what crazy.
No, what kind of driving do you do? You do a lot of long-distance driving or not?
Actually, very little. It's primarily in town, occasionally a road trip. So.
Yeah, I think when you get 100 and some odd thousand miles on your vehicle, you ought to keep the driving down to in-town stuff so you can walk home. I wouldn't drive any farther than you can walk home from. But to be on the safe side, I think you should consider having the transmission fluid and the filter changed.
Right.
Wouldn't be a bad idea. And if you said, look, I'm planning to keep it for 6 more months, I'd say floor it every couple of weeks and hope for the best. On the other hand, I think if you're planning to keep this for the foreseeable future, it wouldn't be a bad idea. And I know there are some who will disagree, and maybe your Eastern European guru will say, oh, no, don't dislodge anything.
Oh.
Yeah, but you did dislodge something already, and it would be nice to get it out of there. And every transmission benefits from having clean fluid.
Sure.
Change the fluid and filter, and good luck, man.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate the help.
All right, Steven, and if you decide to come out of retirement, Tom's getting ready to quit anyway, so let me know.
I'll give it serious consideration.
All right.
Okay.
See you later, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, you know, we're at that point in the show again.
Really? Is this when the NPR dessert chef comes in with a platter of petit four?
No, this is when the NPR exterminator comes in and hoses down your beard again.
All right. Well, when we come back, I'll have some more famous last words.
And, of course, we'll have a bunch more car questions, so stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
1300cc. Thank you.
And even though cats instinctively jump in their litter boxes and then try to cover something up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and some more famous last words.
But first, the Puzzler!
No, what?
Not yet.
No, don't do that to me, man.
All right. Relax.
I'm suing you. You took a year off my life.
All right, it's next week. Next week, it's the Puzzler.
Oh, really?
All right, these were sent in by a listener named Diana Ortel. Famous last words.
Yeah, we've done this before, I think. Yes, these are good ones.
These are good. Yes, you do look fat in those pants.
That would do it.
How about, did I disconnect the what? You called that a watchdog? Is that a real gun? How about, this is good. Relax, I minored in chemistry. I have a degree in chemistry. I can do it. And this one. So how do you get the name Killer?
Yeah, you should never ask anyone.
No.
Hey, by the way, the Puzzler is not back until next week. So in addition to sending me any potential puzzlers you may have floating around, you may also want to head over to our website, cartalk.com, to check out this week's classic puzzler from the archives. Because I know there are some people out there who just can't wait another week.
This is in case I get a middle-of-the-night craving or something like that?
No, that's what that bag of chipped beef is for. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amber from Cincinnati.
Hi, Amber from Cincinnati. What's going on?
I have a 2006 Suzuki Firenza. And it's been a pretty reliable car up until, the last year and a half when I noticed that I was having a power steering fluid leak that was pretty severe.
What relative did you get this car from?
This is my car going to college car, so...
Oh, really? Oh, really? So you got this when you went to college?
Yes.
Not from a relative, though?
No, not from a relative.
Oh, I'm just checking.
Yes. So, I noticed that I had a power steering fluid leak, and I was filling it up all the time. And then I took to get my oil changed, and they said, you need to get your rack and pinion replaced.
Mm.
Then they told me how much that's going to cost. Yeah. So it's like $800 or $900.
Exactly.
And I'm a college kid, if I didn't say that before, and I don't have that kind of money to put into that. So I was wondering, during the wintertime, it doesn't leak because the metal doesn't expand or the fluid doesn't expand. I've heard both.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's summertime again, and this happened last summer that I'm constantly...
Well, you need to immediately make your way to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
You need to enroll in the University of Mackenzie Province.
Summertime again, and I'm refilling it twice a week probably. And I'm wondering if I'm doing permanent damage by not getting it replaced, or if it's okay to just keep refilling it and see how it goes.
No, I mean, the thing you're damaging is, or you're likely to permanently damage, is the thing that's already what? Permanently damaged.
Yeah.
And the only risk is that you don't know when to add fluid until it starts making noise or it gets hard to steer. Or are you proactive?
No, I wait until it's hard to steer.
So you wait until it goes...
Yes.
And when you do that, the other piece that you're damaging, potentially, is the power steering pump.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that you need to add fluid twice a week, maybe you should just do that.
Okay.
Before it runs out. And you can, get it in a... You can get the fluid in a container that you can reseal.
Okay.
And then you can start buying this stuff in bulk. You can have, AutoZone deliver cases of it to your house every morning. It'd be like getting your morning shipment of milk.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's how many years is this going to go on?
Yeah.
You're not gonna hurt anything.
It's not already hurt.
No, it isn't already hurt. And the only problem is that at some point it's gonna leak out faster than you can put it in, and that's when you'll have to strap the 55-gallon drum to the roof of the car and have it trickle in intravenously.
Oh, okay.
But you can try. I mean, what's leaking is a seal.
Okay.
And a seal is probably leaking because a bushing is worn out.
Okay.
And you can put an additive in. You can put power steering stop leak in.
I have been trying that.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work?
So how many gallons of that have you used,
Andy? I think I'm going on like 50 or 60 now.
Yeah, it might be time to bite the bullet. So you are a graduate student?
No, I'm an undergrad.
You're going to be a graduate student.
Yes, I'm looking into it.
Looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you can hit your folks up for a $900 loan. I mean, you're probably bankrupt them anyway with your college tuitions. What's another $900?
Yeah, you're right. This could be a Christmas present.
I think so.
Exactly.
Yeah, tell them you need the $900 because Click and Clack said it's potentially dangerous. Imagine if you couldn't make a turn because your power steering ran out and you had to make a turn. When you've run out, you probably figured out it's impossible to turn the wheel or close to it.
Yeah.
So tell them it's a potential danger and you'd like to get it fixed. And it's never going to get better by itself and you need to spend the money. And if you need to spend it, you might as well spend it now and enjoy the car.
All right.
All right?
We wish you the very best.
If we have to speak to them, you can call us and give us their number.
I will. All right. That's good. That sounds better.
All right. Good luck, Amber.
Thanks so much.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is George from Chewila, Washington.
Hey, from where?
From where?
Chewila,
Chewila.
Washington.
Chewila. How do you spell that?
C-H-E-W-E-L-A-H.
Chewila, you don't know what you don't want to know what I wrote down. Anyway, George, okay. what's happening?
I have a 1984 Mercedes-Benz 380 SL, pain in the butt. It's time to part with this car.
It is.
Can I get more money for it, parting it out, than I can selling it?
Oh.
A couple of years ago, I hit a deer, and the shop paid $2,000 for a hood.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are tens of thousands of junkyards that have figured that out.
Yeah.
Right? You take the thing apart and you sell all the pieces and they're worth a lot more than them all together. You might want to give it a shot. As a matter of fact, you might want to check on Craigslist and see if people are looking for any of these parts.
Well, I'm looking for a part. I broke the door handle and I can't find one.
Well, you don't need the door handle if you're going to get rid of the hood.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go on Craigslist and offer a hard top and see what happens?
Well, you can say I have many, many parts for an 84 380 SL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you're looking for except that driver's door handle. But no one needs to know that. You say, we have a full inventory. for all the visitors to that ad are going to know. You have everything. They may think that you have thousands of parts.
And just tell them, what do you want?
Right.
I'll look and see if I have it.
Let me look. I'll get back to you in a few days. Suggesting it's going to take you that long to pick through.
Well, I looked online, and I think the car's worth $4,000 or $5,000 as a car.
It's worth $5,000 as a car.
Is that about what you would guess?
Well, I was going to guess about $4,800, actually, but $5,000 sounds about the...
Sold.
No, I don't want it.
Wrap it up and ship
it's more
to
like
you.
$200.
But it's worthwhile. As a matter of fact, you may want to just go and look at Hemmings Motor News first.
Okay.
You can go onto their website, and you can see how many people are looking, in fact, for parts for this very car. And you may be able to do the math and say, wait a minute, I could sell the hood, I could sell the doors, I could sell the differential, I could sell et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and I could make $12,000. Then, of course, you have to disassemble it.
Well, yes, and that's not one of my strong points.
Yeah, but you could get someone to do that.
You can find someone who can do it, yeah.
Yeah, I could. It's a small town.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody up here is a mechanic.
Are you retired, George?
Actually, I'm retired, and I work for the city of Chewila.
And what do you do for the city? You know,
I'm the activities coordinator for our little town.
Oh, do you have access to anyone at the Public Works Department?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to suggest that he steal something?
No, I'm going to suggest that he prevails upon them to disassemble the car for him. Well, the guys that do the vehicle maintenance.
Oh.
The guys that fix the garbage trucks and all that, they can take the hood off and the transmission out and all that stuff. You slip them a few $100.
Yeah, well, the city kind of frowns on private projects.
Well, I know. You have to do it at night.
Property.
Well, maybe there's some way one of these guys might want to do it in his spare time in his own driveway.
Ah.
Someone that has the tools and the expertise.
Yes,
you say, look, take the car all apart, give me a pile of pieces, and you can say whatever I sell them for, I'll give you 10%.
I'll tell him you threw out the 10% number.
All right. Well, maybe 15 then. Okay. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
See you, George.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Manette from Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
Manette.
Like M-A-N-E-T-T-E?
Oh, you're brilliant. You're the first person that's ever spelled it right the first time.
Like Lucy Manette from...
And Dr. Manette from Tale of Two Cities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knew you were so literate?
Well, I did go through eighth grade three times, so things do sink in after a while. Anyway,
where are you from?
I'm from Glenwood Springs, Colorado.
Oh, Glenwood Springs.
And it was just named the most fun town in the United States from Rand McNally in USA Today.
Most fun town? Why, pray tell, what is there that's so much fun?
Well, I thought it was because I live here, but then I found out it was really because we've got so many activities year-round that everybody wants to be here the whole time. We're just an activity vortex.
How come we've never heard of this place before?
Well, because we're kind of the best-kept secret, but I'm letting you
not anymore.
Only in on it.
Luckily, no one listens to this show.
So the three of us now know.
Your secret is still safe. Anyway, now that you have given us the whole Chamber of Commerce spiel, what can we do for you, Manette?
Well, I've got a mystery that I need to have some help having you guys solve for me, please. I had my car parked on a nice 74-degree day, and when I came back to my car, there was an enormous calling card from some kind of a flying entity. And I don't know that it was a bird because it was so big, but that's what I'm thinking.
So it was a giant bird poop.
Yes.
And where did it land on the car?
It landed on my windshield.
On the windshield.
Really?
Perfect.
Yes. And how much windshield did it cover?
Well, I know that it was at least 4 inches in diameter.
Oh.
And the reason that I know this in particular is because I turned on the windshield wipers to clean it off, and under the bird poop was a 3-inch crack that had never been there before.
Oh.
The bird poop cracked my windshield. I'm starting to think of MIT physics formulas like mass and velocity and distance.
Oh, I think we're definitely going to have to call our comrade Wolfgang Ruckner to have a, because we don't know the terminal velocity of bird poop. But it may be that this thing hit your windshield at like 80 miles an hour or something.
Well, thank God it wasn't me. But I'm just wondering, how is it possible for this to crack my windshield?
Well, I'll tell you, one day I was test driving, and you know, one of those 74-degree days here in our fair city, and I was test driving a Mazda Miata, of course, with the top down. I'm running through the gears and having a grand old time driving through the city at 12 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I felt like someone had stepped off the curb and given me the biggest dope slap imaginable.
Oh.
And I said, wow, that hurts. And what's the first thing you do when you have an injury? You go to rub it, right? So I put my hand in this, and now I've got bird poop all over my hand, and I have to downshift. And it hurt. And it, I don't know where it came from. I don't know what kind of a bird it was.
But it was a bird, huh?
It was, it was a bird, all right. And it was big, and it hurt. So it's not a surprise that it broke your windshield. I don't think any bird poop can, but I think the right bird under the right circumstances.
Lucky me.
Now, in Colorado, is your windshield covered by your insurance, or did you have to pay?
No, my windshield was covered by my insurance, but I had a hard time convincing my insurance and the windshield repair guy that that's really what it, and not to mention my husband, that that's what really happened to me.
Maybe somebody broke your windshield and then faked the bird poop to make it look like that had done it. There's always that possibility.
Yes, you know, everybody said, well, you must have been traveling fast. I was gone from the car. I wasn't even traveling at all.
Well, look, I'm very confident that we will hear from the Newtonian physics community on this.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that there are many, many experts out there, both from the physics and avian communities, that can tell us exactly what kind of bird it had to be.
It was a big bird, and not only that, I took pictures. So if anybody needs to have evidence, that's how shocked
I don't think it'll be all right.
I don't want to see those.
Well, yeah. I saw a turkey vulture one day in the road, and it scared the dickens out of me. In fact, I made a U-turn with the way. So it could be a bird like that, and if it came from a high enough altitude.
Which we do live in a high enough altitude.
Yeah, and if he was high enough above you, I mean, what a lucky shot that was, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah, but look, it could have been worse. It could have landed on your head like it did with me. So that was.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, well, so was I. Anyway, good luck. See you later.
Well, let me know what you find out.
All Thank right, we shall. Take care of that. Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Anatoli Ravioli Mastacholi Guacamole Cheese Stromboli, Fresh Aioli, Eating Slowly with Sylvia Pacioli is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Varese. Our Tina Turner biographers are Raul and Donna River. Our staff Segway driver is Eileen Ford. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to disappointed-looking tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1137, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the return of Fiat.
Yes, indeed. Decades after limping back to Italy in rust-begotten shame, Fiat is back on American soil. And this time, well, we don't know yet.
No, but it is cute.
And it drives surprisingly well. Check out our review of the brand new Fiat 500, along with our other test drive notes right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Terry Gross rubs her temples and says, "Serenity now," whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.